Good morning and shalom. We want to keep thanking God for his faithfulness. We continue to learn about the new community, the blessed community. This blessed community is the one that has been called. This community has been predestined, given a destiny. This community has been reconciled to one another and to God. This community has been adopted to become sons and children of God. We have discovered that the Lord was able to break the yoke or the barrier that stood between the two communities, that hostility barrier. The Lord broke it by his death on the cross, and they become one person. They have access to God through the body of Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit. And right now, as we look at this, the intention was that God would become the body in which he's going to inhabit. In fact, he says that the body is built on apostles and prophets, Jesus being the cornerstone, and Godhead is going to inhabit this body here on earth and bring the glory. He's going to incarnate here on earth and be able to make himself known. That is the will of God. That is the most blessed position we have, that God would be able to show up here on earth through us or through this new body. So we discovered that this body is wealthy, and that wealth, it has we discovered the way they're able to be picked from where they were dead, without God, without hope here on earth, and they were saved from that sin and Satan and systems of the world. Then they were saved by grace of God, and they were saved for the purpose of good works. And then one of the major good works is for God to dwell here on earth through this body. So today we want to look at the walk. We say that the theme of the book of Ephesians is the wealth of believers, and then the walk of the believers, and then the warfare of the believers. So let's start with chapter 4 that speaks of the walk. How does the new believer ought to walk? What is its practice? We have known its position. What about its practice? Very critical. And we know that they are challenged to walk in a manner worthy their calling. They have been called. Actually, called is another blessing. So how do they appropriate this call? Two things. They're supposed to walk in unity and in maturity here on earth, to among the Christ rejecting world. The body of Christ, they're supposed to walk in unity and in maturity. We are going to divide chapter 4 into 3. We are going to start from verses 1 to 10, then the next session will be 10 to 20 or 19, and then 19 to 30 to around 30 or 32. Let's read and see how they're supposed to walk, because here in this walk, as we read verses chapter 4 and verses 1 to 10, we'll focus on understanding the stakeholders' roles in creating and maintaining unity and maturity of the body of Christ in a corrupt environment. Who is a stakeholder? A stakeholder is anybody or any party that is interested in believers' good. They could be good or evil parties. They're interested, they have some stake They have an interest. They're thinking of something about this body. And those stakeholders, we discover that there'll be God or Christ will be a major stakeholder. The believers themselves is a major stakeholder to themselves. The corrupt leaders and the corrupt society is another stakeholders. And the church worker or the caregiver, the church is another stakeholder. So Paul will emphasize the praise and the power of oneness for the new community, family of God in this corrupt world. Look at what it says. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep unity of the spirit through the bond of peace. I want you to see that in this session, we are going to look at the role of the believers themselves. In this one, today we are going to settle on, you know, the role of the believers and the role of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at what they're saying here, that every believer is expected to do something to maintain the walk of unity amongst corrupt society. For let to mature, they're supposed to walk. And you see from verses 4 to 7, from this verse 1 to 3, we are being, you know, the church is being told to make every effort to keep unity of the spirit through the bond of peace. Make every effort. What is this every effort that is being taught? Is it effort for salvation? We have already established that we are not saved by our effort. We are not saved by our strength. Yet, here we are told to make every effort. To do what? Paul is saying, as an example of himself, he's a prisoner for the Lord Jesus Christ. So he reminds that, again, he's a prisoner, that he's in prison because of Christ. So he says, make every effort. So what is this effort? Is I urge you to live a worthy of the calling you have received. One of the efforts that every believer would be made to do is to be completely humble. When you say that, make every effort, and this is the role of every believer, is to be completely humble. That is the work of the believer. For us to be completely humble. I know the Lord humbles people, but we are saying we don't want the Lord to humble us. By the grace given to us by God, we can humble. To humble ourselves, the Bible says, humble yourself in the mighty hand of God. It is an encouragement for every believer to humble. But Paul says to be completely humble. That is number one. So that this body can be united. To be humble, I want you to look at it from this point of view. That you have got a system. A system like that of a car. And every part must be united to every other part for the whole engine to move. So some part must be put under the others. Others must be put on the side. But others must be connected to their rightful place. So for us, as God's people, we must know our rightful place. We know that the Lord has already broken the barrier of hostility. That we are no longer feeling a superior mentality or an inferior mentality. Because we are one. We are equal. And the Lord can put us anywhere. And the Lord wants to combine believers from the Jewish community and the Gentiles community. And so being completely humble is one of it. And gentle. The gentle is that what we call the power under control. Gentle means you can be able to override others, but you choose not to. You also know that others can override you, but you choose not to fight. You choose not to really object many things. So completely humble, completely gentle. Be patient. Number three, be patient with one another. And number four, bearing with one another in love. So to bear with one another is to make every effort for others to offend you. Paul says that you make an opportunity for others to offend you. It is not easy. So that's the role of every believer, to be able to maintain every bond of unity. That's the work. That's the, you know, these are the five things that we are supposed to do. But then we want to see the role of Christ in making this unity. But before that, there is one, Paul mentioned one unity seven times. That is a complete. Look, he says there is one body. This one body, he says that we don't have two bodies. We have one body, the one that you're making every effort and completely humble, because we have one body to walk in this unity. He says there's one body. And then this body have got one Holy Spirit. Is the only one Holy Spirit, just as we were called to, it has got one hope when we were called. And then it has got one Lord with Jesus Christ. It has got one faith. It has got one baptism and one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. You see, we have got the seven oneness, and he's talking about that one. So he reminds us that the great thing that he's talking about is unity, and talks about one. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned us. I want you to see that now we go to the role of Christ in maintaining this bond of peace, this bond of unity. So he says, but to each one of us, grace has been given to us as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. He gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower other region? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the believers. Now, one of the things that the Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ has done, or the role of Christ in this one, is to give gifts, to make one, is to give gifts. It is a transaction our Lord Jesus Christ has done to the body. It's about giving gifts. It's the only thing that he could do. Now, that's a major thing that he has done. The transaction is that he has, it's about buying and selling and giving. Christ, who came from heaven, went up to the royal legions. That is, he died. He came from heaven, but then he died. But then when he died, he moved with himself and with the gifts, or with the people that he conquered, all of us. And he gave gifts to all of us, so that these gifts will be able to continue to help the church. So the work of Christ is to give gifts. And what are those gifts? He talked about five gifts. It's normally called fivefold ministry. Christ, he himself gave the apostles. Apostles are meant to govern the church. So you see, it is Christ who gave the power to govern the church. He is giving a gift of government. He is giving a gift of guiding. He is giving a gift of prophets, that are supposed to guide this new community. He's giving the gift of evangelists that are supposed to gather this new community to oneness. He's giving the gift of pastors who are supposed to guard this new community. And he's giving the gift of teachers that are supposed to ground this church. So we'll get up to there, but I want you to see that the Lord is involved in building, in making this new community walk in unity and walk to maturity, or towards maturity, as in a Christ rejecting the world, so that they can be able to keep bringing others. Father, we are asking that you may help us to walk in a manner worthy our calling, in Jesus' name.